California, we present Gene Herschelt in a new Dr. Christian story, presented for your pleasure by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Now for a curtain raiser, we present the testimony of a young swimming champ.
I'm on the swimming team of one of the big universities here in the West, which means I spend 2 or 3 hours a day in the pool. And take my word for it, nothing can dry out the scalp like water. For a while, my hair was like straw. It looked terrible and felt worse. It was harsh and brittle. And although I tried continually, I couldn't keep it in place. Then the coach told me about Vaseline Hair Tonic. I tried it and was amazed. In no time at all, my hair was back to normal. I should say it actually looked better than ever. Now I'm not troubled with loose dandruff either. No wonder the rest of the team has started to use it.
Naturally, all we men don't spend as much time in the water as this young gentleman. But we may suffer from dry scalp regardless. Frequent showers, dousing the hair every morning, steam-heated rooms, all these rob the scalp of the natural oil so essential to good-looking, lustrous hair. If you are troubled with dry scalp, try this treatment. Before shampooing, massage your scalp briskly with Vaseline Hair Tonic. And for addressing afterwards, use a few drops on your brush or shake it on right from the bottle. The regular use of Vaseline Hair Tonic will keep your hair in place, help to remove unsightly dandruff scales. Vaseline Hair Tonic is economical, too. It's sold in two sizes of shaker top bottles at 40 and 70 cents at your corner drugstore. Get a bottle tomorrow. Tonight's Dr. Christian play, selected for you by Gene Herschelt, star of this series, is called Revolt, and concerns two young people who are uninvited guests in River's End. The role of 19-year-old Bill is played by Frank Coughlin, Jr., and the part of Helen by Betty Jean Haney. Rosemary DeCamp plays Judy Price, the doctor's secretary. As the curtain rises on Dr. Christian's study, we see our good doctor relaxing for a moment in his old leather armchair, smoking the beloved pipe. There is a knock on the door.
Yes? Oh, I thought you'd gone home, Judy.
It started to rain. I came back to get my umbrella.
Seems to me I saw it in the back hall.
Oh, yes, I know. I'm not bothering you about that, but I found a patient waiting to see you.
Say, that's right. I guess I did tell Tony Donello to drop in this evening.
Oh.
How long has he been waiting?
No, it isn't Tony Donello. It's a young fellow and his sister. I don't know who they are. I've never seen him before. He's hurt his ankle.
Oh, well, tell him to come in.
All right. Can you come in, please?
Well, I'm sorry I kept you waiting. I didn't know anyone was there. Judy, help him with that chair, will you?
I'll help him.
It's okay, Doc. I wasn't waiting long.
Well, now, let's see here.
Well, it's nothing serious, I guess, but it's kind of painful.
Yes, I should think it would be. Who taped this up for you?
Why, we...
A doctor in the East fixed it up. I think his name was Graham.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we'll take this tape off for a while until we see how your ankle is going to act.
Oh! What is it? Just a sprain?
Yes, but rather a bad one. Oh, Judy, will you make out a card for this young man?
Mm.
I don't believe you told me your name.
Adams. Bill Adams. This is my sister.
How old are you, Mr. Adams?
19.
Address?
We're from New York.
Oh, New York.
The address is Fifth Avenue. 350 Fifth Avenue.
How long ago did you hurt your ankle?
About 3 weeks ago. We were jumping off a truck.
Jumping off a truck?
We're sending our way to Chicago.
Both of you?
Why not? We're broke and we've got to get there. Know any better way?
Well, have you friends or relatives in Chicago?
Nah, we haven't any relatives anywhere. They're all dead. We don't even know if we're going to Chicago. We're simply heading in that direction.
What about your home in New York?
That was just a little boarding house.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to delay your trip a little.
Why? What do you mean?
Your ankle is pretty badly swollen, and it's going to be much worse tomorrow morning. I doubt if you'll be able to walk.
I'll be able to walk okay.
Besides, we'll pick up a ride.
When are you leaving?
Right away. Tonight.
Oh, but you can't do that. It's raining. At this time of evening, you probably wouldn't pick up a ride when you hit the main highway. It's a long way from here.
Listen, sister, never mind about us. We'll get along. Oh, sorry, Doc, but I can't afford to pay you for this.
Oh, that's all right. I didn't do very much.
Come on, Helen. Oh!
See? Oh. I told you.
Well, it was better with the bandages on.
It might have been better if you hadn't attempted to walk on it. And if you go on trying to walk on it, it's going to be much worse.
I'll manage somehow.
Why don't you at least wait till tomorrow morning?
We can't wait.
Well, if you're not going anywhere in particular, what difference does it make?
Look, Doc, when we say we're broke, we mean broke. Sure, it'd be swell to put up at a hotel overnight, but where are we going to get the dough?
Yes, I see.
So, there you are.
Now, hold on a moment. Judy, isn't the spare room made up?
Why, yes.
No, we can't stay. We've got to get started.
Well, you can come home with me, and your brother can stay with the doctor.
Of course, that's just the thing to do, and by tomorrow, maybe...
I tell you, we can't.
Hey, now, take it easy. Maybe the doc's right. And I guess our chances of picking up a ride would be pretty slim. Okay, we'll stay.
Well, Bill, how are you feeling this morning?
All right, as long as I'm lying in bed here.
Sleep well?
I slept okay.
Well, let's have a look at that ankle.
Mm-hmm. It still hurts when I move my foot.
Yes, and it'd hurt a lot more if you try to walk on it.
When do you think I can walk on it?
It all depends on how that swelling behaves. Oh, not for a few more days yet, at any rate.
Say, look here, Doc. I'm not used to taking charity. This is a new gag to me. I wouldn't want it to get out. I wouldn't want people to know that I...
Oh, stop worrying. Nobody's going to know anything about it.
Well, keep it quiet, will you? About me staying here?
Sure I will. Don't get the idea this is charity. When you get around to it, you can pay me. I've ordered some breakfast for you. Your sister's here. I'll have her bring it in. All right, Helen. When he's finished, give the tray to Judy.
What did you get me for breakfast?
Orange juice, buttered toast, eggs, and coffee.
What? No bacon? Well, put it down on the bed here where I can get at it. Had your breakfast?
Yes, at the girls' house. Bill, we can't stay here any longer.
Why not?
Well, you know why not. Sooner or later, they're going to find out I'm not your sister. And sooner or later, the police...
They won't find out anything. All we have to do is keep our mouths shut.
We can keep our mouths shut, but what about the doctor and the girl?
I've got it all fixed. I told the doc I was sort of ashamed to be taking charity, and he promised he wouldn't tell anyone about me being here. He'll see that the girl keeps Mom, too.
I don't like it, Bill. We've got to get away as soon as we can. How's your ankle?
Not so hot. But it's not so bad that I couldn't sneak out of bed last night and take a look at that safe.
What safe?
The one in the doc's office. I thought maybe the girl forgot to lock it, but she didn't.
But why did you want to look at the safe?
I wanted to see what's in it. Because when we leave, we're taking that stuff with us.
Oh, we couldn't do that. It isn't fair to him.
Now, look who's talking about fairness. How fair has life been to you, or to me? Doesn't it owe us as much as it owes some old guy in a silk hat? Well, then why haven't we got it?
Oh, you can't blame the doctor for that. It's conditions.
And who made the conditions? Stuffed shirts like him. Well, I'm not blaming him personally. I guess he's okay. But he's a part of the system, and I'm against the system. And so are you.
If I wasn't, I wouldn't be here.
No, I'll have to hand you that. It takes courage to bust all the phony rules and conventions they use to keep us in our places. A lot of courage. Oh, you've been swell.
But I haven't enough courage to rob that safe.
Oh, yes, you have.
Oh, we'll never be able to get it open anyway.
We'll get it open. Now, we've got to get a hold of that combination. Keep an eye on the girl in the office. If she opens the safe while you're around, try to memorize the numbers. Or if you can't get it that way, maybe you can trick her into giving it to you. But take it easy. We've got plenty of time. I can stall with this ankle for another week.
Good morning, Dr. Christian.
Oh, hello, Helen.
I did the breakfast dishes, Judy. Your mother wouldn't let me help with the housework this morning. She told me to go out and have a good time.
Oh, today's house cleaning day. Mother has her own ideas about house cleaning. She even changes me out.
I guess I'm not much of a housekeeper.
Yes, you are. You're marvelous. You should have tasted the biscuits she made last night, Dr. Christian.
Who, Helen?
Yeah, they were delicious. He'd certainly make a grand catch for some deserving young man.
Well, he ought to do something about that.
I'm never going to get married.
Yes, I've heard plenty of girls say the same thing, but I notice the state still goes on building schoolhouses.
I mean it.
Oh, sure.
Marriage is just a trap, that's all.
A trap?
Invented by society to keep young people in a state of economic slavery.
Why, Helen.
Oh, yes, they'll tell you how wonderful it is to get married and have a little home and children. Because they know those very things keep you tied down. Don't fool yourself. They're not thinking of your happiness. They're just thinking of their own greed. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
We're all entitled to our opinions.
Well, anyway, let's forget it. How's my brother?
The patient enjoyed a good night's sleep and made a hearty breakfast. You know, a week in bed was exactly what he needed. Now, don't tell him, but I could have let him get up this morning. I'm keeping him off his feet one day more just to make sure.
Is it all right if I go in and see him?
Of course, he's waiting for you. But don't tell him what I told you.
I will.
What a strange girl.
Well, I think she's rather nice.
Well, she is nice, but just the same, there's something funny about her.
Oh, don't pay any attention to the way she talks. Old youngsters go through a period of revolt. She'll get over it.
I'm thinking about the way she doesn't talk.
Yeah? What do you mean?
She's been living at our house for a week. And not once has she ever mentioned anything about who she is or where she came from or anything about herself. She'll talk about other things, but bring the conversation around to her and she simply isn't interested. And a girl who isn't interested in herself just isn't natural.
Well, you ought to know.
Oh, well, I tried to draw her out, but she shuts up like a book.
Oh, say, that reminds me.
Hmm?
Now, what did I do with it? I'm certain I laid it here on the...
What are you looking for?
A book I got at the library for Bill. Now, I remember distinctly... Oh, I take it back. There it is. Well, I guess I'd better give it to him before I mislay it again. May I come in?
It's your house, isn't it?
I brought you another library book.
Put it over there on the stand.
I'll take it, Dr. Christian, and thanks a lot.
Oh, that's all right. I hope you like it, Bill. Well, I have some calls to make. I'll look in on you this afternoon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Let's see the book. Middle-class sentimental drivel. Take it back to the library when you go.
Don't you think you ought to make a pretense at reading it? You don't want to hurt his feelings.
Oh, I care about his feelings. Is anyone bothered about my feelings? Oh, say, how are you making out about getting the combination of that safe?
I told you I can't get it. Judy hasn't been near the safe any time I've been in the office.
You've had a whole week to talk to her about it. You could have found out some way.
I've tried to, Bill. Honestly, I have. I'm no good at that sort of thing. Can't we give it up?
Not a chance. Now, there's more than one way to get that safe open. Doc and myself are alone here every night. And the pocket of my coat hanging in the closet there is a .32 automatic.
Oh, no, Bill.
Now, don't get excited. I'm not going to hurt him. All I'm going to do is make him open the safe.
Oh, Bill, please.
Say, what are you trying to do? Let me down? I might have figured you would. Everyone else has.
I wouldn't let you down. You know I wouldn't. But after he's been so good to us.
Now, wait a minute. What sort of a world is it that puts us in a spot where somebody has to be good to us?
I know, Bill, but...
Listen, we've been kicked around all our lives, and the first time you meet a guy who doesn't kick us around, you think it's marvelous. Just because some guy gives us a couple of free meals, you think that makes up for everything.
No, no, Bill, listen.
Well, I don't. Okay, I won't ask you to help me. All I want you to do is keep still and be ready to leave the minute I phone you. Because I'm going to open that safe tomorrow night.
Well, you still up?
I picked up one of your medical books and started reading it. It's kind of interesting.
This is your first day out of bed. You shouldn't overdo.
Oh, I'm all right. You know, I haven't had my clothes on for a week. I sort of hate to take them off.
Well, I'll be glad to get mine off. See you in the morning, Bill.
Wait a minute.
Yes? What is it?
I want to have a little talk with you.
Can't we talk tomorrow? It's after 11 o'clock.
I won't be here in the morning.
Oh, you're leaving?
Yes. And before I go...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Bill. I was hoping you'd be with us for a couple of more days. But if you're leaving, well, here, I'd like to lend you a little money.
Well, I...
Oh, now, don't start talking about charity. You'll have a chance to pay it back.
But I'm not asking for...
I...
No, of course you're not. I'm offering it to you. Put it in your pocket. You'll need it for a railroad fare.
Well, thanks, Dr. Christian.
That's all right. And a lot of luck to you, Bill. Well, I guess I'll turn in now. Good night.
Good night, Dr. Christian.
Oh, Bill, when you're through reading, don't forget to snap off the lights, will you?
Just a second.
Well?
There's one more thing I want from you. I want you to open that safe. And if you don't, I'll plug you.
You better be careful with that gun, Bill.
Never mind the talk. Now, you do what I tell you. Get busy and open that safe. Open it or I'll shoot. Go on. Open it or I'll... Oh, I can't. I can't do it.
I know you can't. While you were having your bath this evening, I took the cartridges out of your gun. I have them right here in my pocket. Here. You want them?
Those are the slugs out of my gun.
Yes, but you won't need them. I'll open the safe for you anyway. Come here, we'll open it together.
Oh, I don't want it open. I don't want anything you've got in there.
You can't tell. There might be something that'll interest you. Now, set at zero. Right to nine. Left to three. Right to zero. And open. There you are. Help yourself.
Oh, but I tell you, there's nothing I want. There's nothing but papers in there anyhow.
That's right. But there's a paper you ought to know about. It's a bulletin from the Minneapolis Police Department.
The Minneapolis Police?
Yes. Take it. Read it.
No. No, I don't want to read it.
It concerns a certain William Prendle. He eloped last week with a girl named Helen Platt, both minors, and both from Minneapolis. The police have no record of their applying for a wedding license, but of course then you can't exactly arrest a man for that.
Why, we figured that...
But it seems this young man hurt his ankle, and so he entered an all-night drugstore on the outskirts of Minneapolis, and at the point of a gun forced the clerk to bandage his ankle. This bulletin was sent out all over the state. The police thought the young man might stop in some other place for medical attention.
Have you notified the police?
I've telegraphed Helen's mother. Oh, the shock of the whole thing. Well, he's been ill. He couldn't come for Helen right away. That's why I've kept the boat here.
And you've had that bulletin all the time? You made a fool out of me.
You made a fool out of yourself. I didn't get the bulletin until 2 days after your arrival. But from the very start, I knew you were lying. You said you'd hurt your ankle 3 weeks ago. I could tell it had been hurt only recently, probably that very day. You said the bandages had been put on by a doctor in the East. I knew it hadn't been put on by a doctor at all. And then that first night when you got up and examined this safe.
You knew that, too?
Yes, yes. I was awake.
Oh, I have been a fool. A failure. A failure in everything I've tried to do. Oh, now I've failed in this.
I'm afraid you have, Bill. You even made a mistake about that little boarding house where you lived in New York. You know, the one at 350 Fifth Avenue. That little boarding house happens to be the Empire State Building. Oh, come on, Bill, come on. I think you'd better get back to bed now and stop being a crybaby. Early this morning. Why? What's the matter?
What happened to Bill?
Nothing. Nothing at all. I think he's just getting up. Oh, Bill.
Where's he been?
Well, he's been here, in bed.
Hello, Helen.
Bill, where have you been? I waited and waited.
Well, that's a date Bill had to break. You see, we had a little heart-to-heart talk, and it was quite late before we finished.
He knows all about us, Helen. Oh. He's known for days. He saw through everything, and, well, now...
Yes, Bill's leaving on the noon train. He's in a little jam. He has to go back and straighten things out.
He's going to jail?
Well, I don't know, but... well, maybe it won't be that bad. Your mother will be here this evening, Helen, to take you home.
I'm not going back. I can't. I can't go back and face people after what's happened.
But nothing has happened.
They won't believe that. What can I tell them?
Tell them the truth.
Oh.
You and Bill have been visiting friends in River's End.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't cry, Helen. It's all my fault. I've been a first-class heel. Giving you a lot of stuff I didn't even believe myself. But I'm going back and give myself up. Then I'm going to get me a job and go to work. Oh, I know. I know I don't deserve you, but maybe... well, someday. I mean, if you'll wait. Oh, will you, Helen?
Oh, I don't know, Bill. It's all too mixed up. I don't know whether I ever want to get married. I can't answer you now.
Of course you can. But then, as I've often said, they go right on building schoolhouses.
And the curtain comes down on revolt. But don't turn your dials, because Gene Hirschold, our star, is going to tell you all about our next week's Dr. Christian play. And while we're waiting for him, I would like to give you this message about the products that make this program possible. It's always important to be prepared for those little accidents that happen to all of us, like getting scratched or scraped or burned. Any hurt like this, where the skin is broken or injured, is important. For the skin itself is probably the most important organ of the body. It guards us against all kinds of infection. You're playing safe if you're prepared by having a jar of soothing, healing Vaseline jelly on hand. Vaseline jelly comes first in first aid for all minor skin injuries and irritations because it does these three important things. One, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. Two, it soothes away irritation, promotes quick healing. And three, it softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural skin oils. So remember, always keep a jar or tube of Vaseline jelly handy to treat any skin injury or irritation promptly and effectively before it gets a chance to become serious. Vaseline jelly costs only 10 cents a jar or tube at any drugstore. Equally inexpensive and effective are the Vaseline specialties. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline lip ice, and Vaseline Camphor Ice. Ask your druggist about their many beneficial uses. And when you buy any of the Vaseline products, be sure you see the trademark Vaseline clearly printed on the jar or tube. It is your assurance of getting the genuine article. Now, here is Gene Hirschold in the most popular role of his career, Dr. Christian. What kind of a story have you selected for us for next week, Dr. Christian?
Well, Art, if you like mystery stories, I know a good one that happened in River's End last summer when the gypsies were here.
Well, tell it to us.
I'll do that next week at this same hour. And just to keep you guessing, I won't even tell you the title, because it's the things you know the least about that always seem the most intriguing. And so until next Wednesday evening, I'll say good night.
Gene Hirschold is now working on the second of a series of RKO radio pictures based on this program entitled The Courageous Dr. Christian. Watch for the release date at your local theater. Fight infantile paralysis by joining the March of Dimes. Mail 10 dimes to the president for his birthday on January 30th and do your part. This is Arthur Gilmore adding a good night for the makers of Vaseline preparations. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.